Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yesterday was the Kansas District Early Childhood Conference down at Zion in Chanute. I was invited by the district to open the conference with a devotional. And so I hopped into the church van and headed out, and the gas light immediately came on. Now, wanting to get there on time, I figured I'd drive down to Chanute and get gas before heading back to Humboldt. After the devotion was over, though, I received a message from Marie about going to the family fun day at the fair, and so I got in the van, and wanting to get home as quickly as possible, I decided, you guess it, I had to push my luck and once more fill up once I got back to Humboldt. Well, as soon as I got on the highway and saw that needle drop, I began praying, please, Lord, please just get me back to Humboldt. My prayers became even more incessant as the needle dropped all the way down into the red. As I rolled into Pete's, I gave a great sigh of relief and a hearty thanks to God for bringing me all the way back by his miraculous power. I filled a tank and began my journey home on 10th Street, and not even two blocks from Pete's, the van started to jerk and it stalled out and the engine died. I moved to the side of the road, parked the car, and turned it off, knowing exactly what I had done. So I turned the key once again and vroom, 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 vroom. I had to let the air flow all the way through the fuel line in order to get the gas back in the engine so it would start once again. Once the engine started, I prayed again, giving more hearty thanks to God, realizing just how close I came to sitting on the side of the highway. But herein lies the problem. No, not that I didn't put gas in the van. That is a problem, but not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about prayer. Oftentimes, this becomes our theology of prayer, our mode of operation. Not that we ask for simple or seemingly trivial things, of course. He tells us to pray for our daily bread. But that often our prayer becomes one of emergency. More often than not, we only engage in this constant vigilant prayer when something is wrong. When we're driving on empty, when the weather is unseasonable or dangerous, when a loved one is ill or facing death, when we are experiencing financial hardship or unemployment, when we are facing a difficult or uncertain situation of any kind, then we pray. We even see in our Old Testament Abraham pleading before God in an emergency. Even in our parable, the man only goes to his neighbor at midnight because a friend has arrived on a journey and he has nothing to set before him. It is an emergency. And because it's an emergency, he persists until the neighbor finally relents, opens his door, and fulfills his neighbor's need. Yet Jesus isn't pointing us to the fact that God is only there to get us out of a jam. Instead, Jesus is teaching his disciples that this is how we should pray all the time. They ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus gives them those familiar words, words which we well know but perhaps don't use often enough. Jesus tells them, though, first and foremost, that when they pray to God, they are praying to their Father. Now, there are two things above all else, other than the Word of God, of course, that have shaped me into the theologian that I am today. Things that have taught me about the character and nature of God like nothing else. Things that the seminary could have never in a million years provided me with. And that is being a husband and a father. For I know that when I, in my imperfect, sin-infected, selfish love, desire to give my children the world, how much more does the perfect God, who is love, desire to give his children all things? And in fact, Jesus says of the Father, I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Now, don't misunderstand me. God does not promise to give us whatever we want. But he does promise that each and every time we open our mouths to speak to him, he will be there listening as a loving father, eager to give us whatever it is that we need. I desire to give my children the world, but if they ask me to eat a whole gallon of ice cream, of course I am going to say no. No matter how much they plead and beg, because I know it will make them sick. It's not good for them. Instead, I will give them some vegetables and teach them the importance of eating nutritious food, because before all else, I desire their well-being. And nothing would delight me more than the day that they run up to me and beg me for their good portion of vegetables. I'll keep praying. In the same way, though, our Heavenly Father desires our well-being. And so we pray to him, and he sends us his Spirit, especially when we ask him to teach us through his word so that we may learn the very value of the forgiveness and life he so eagerly desires to give to us. And he teaches us through his Spirit to know him and of his will for us, so that we learn to trust in him more and more in emergencies and in everyday life to care for all of our needs of body and soul. And so Jesus, he teaches his disciples that we should be constant, vigilant in prayer, giving thanks to the Lord for all that he gives to us, asking him to help keep us faithful in him, to protect us from all evil, to help us trust in him not only for this life, but also for the next. And these prayers of ours should be constant. We should be in prayer when we rise in the morning and when we lay down at night, praying when we go about our daily activities and praying in between. As Christians, prayer should simply be part of who we are. And when we do pray, the Lord promises that he will always hear us, always eager to give us his own Holy Spirit, that we may be built up in the faith and trust in him for all things, no matter what our circumstances may be. So don't wait to speak to your Heavenly Father, for he's already listening to you. Even now. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.